Good evening. Good to be back this evening in this second worship service of the day, and it's good to see each of you back this evening. I want to express appreciation to Brother Drexel Green for doing a very fine job in directing our singing this evening. His leading our singing this evening is reminiscent of his father, who led singing here many, many years ago, a son following in the footsteps of his father. God has certainly blessed Drexel with a marvelous ability to direct singing in a meaningful and competent fashion. So we are grateful that he led us in our song this evening. And we likewise want to express appreciation for Brother Clifford Prowell, who read our scripture lesson from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. Also, we appreciate the prayer led by Brother Solomon Stevens. Solomon always does a fine job in leading us in prayer. You know, we are blessed to have a number of talented individuals who are part of this congregation, multiple song leaders and scripture readers and prayer leaders. And it is a blessing because not all congregations are so blessed. We invite you at this time to turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 13. This is not a strange passage for most of us. Most of us have been studying this passage and reading this passage and hearing this passage taught on and preached on for many years. But it always is a passage of scripture from which we can learn vital principles and glean meaningful and relevant information. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 13. I want to focus not so much on Abraham, as important as he is in this particular passage. As a matter of fact, the passage focuses on Abraham. Abraham is the one who is primarily under consideration in this passage. But we want to take a close look at Isaac in this passage. I think sometimes Isaac is not given proper credit for the role that he played in this particular incident. Isaac played a vital role. I want to use as the specific title of this lesson, Double Allegiance. Double Allegiance. We recognize what allegiance gives reference to. When we say allegiance, we're speaking of devotion or loyalty to a person, a country, group, or a cause. Back when I was in high school, and some of you, when you were in high school, we used to do the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. I think that just about all schools stopped doing that many years ago, and what that Pledge of Allegiance was all about, although it made specific reference to the flag, it was about devotion and about loyalty and about fidelity and commitment to our country. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. So the students who were being taught and trained, led by the teachers, would do the Pledge of Allegiance. What they were saying was, I pledge my devotion, my loyalty to our country. I pledge my devotion, my loyalty to our cause, to the republic for which that flag stood. That's what was being communicated. When I speak of double allegiance, I'm speaking specifically of the allegiance exemplified by Isaac. It is a kindred allegiance that allegiance demonstrated by Abraham. But I say double allegiance is demonstrated because Isaac's allegiance was being pledged by his actions to his earthly father, Abraham. He showed loyalty and devotion and fidelity to his earthly father, Abraham. But not only did he demonstrate loyalty and devotion to his earthly father, Abraham, but also, likewise, similarly, he demonstrated loyalty and devotion and commitment and fidelity to his heavenly father as well. See, God, the God of the universe, Yahweh, he was not just Abraham's God. He was the God of Isaac as well. Now, this was a test that was specifically designed with Abraham in mind. But while Abraham was experiencing his testing, Isaac was likewise experiencing his testing. And while Abraham was demonstrating loyalty to God, the Heavenly Father, Isaac was demonstrating loyalty to God, the Heavenly Father, and to his earthly father, Abraham, the patriarch, the great man of faith, who is referred to as the father of the faithful. So Isaac was demonstrating double allegiance. Allegiance to Abraham, allegiance to God. And I think that we need to recognize Abraham's allegiance, but not neglect the recognition of Isaac's double allegiance. Double faithfulness, double fidelity, double loyalty. Both Abraham and Isaac passed the acid test in this particular setting. What is an acid test? Well, simply stated, an acid test is a severe or crucial test. And we can see the severity of the test and the crucialness of the test when we see what was at stake, when we consider the fact that Abraham was challenged to give up his only son, the son he loved that was dear to him. God tested Abraham. It says he tempted Abraham, and we'll look at that. And it came to pass after these things, verse number one, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I'm available. What do you need? What do you want? I'm yours. You are mine. I'm yours. He did tempt Abraham. Well, now, what do you mean he tempted Abraham? Over in James chapter 1, we find that the Bible says to us, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, he says, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Now we understand. When God tempted Abraham, he was not tempting him to do evil. This was not a solicitation to do evil. This is a different kind of tempt. This word tempt in Genesis chapter 22 means rather test. He was tested. See, God does not tempt any man to sin. He does not tempt any man in an effort to solicit him to sin or to do something that is wrong. But he does tempt men, like he did Abraham, in the sense that he tests him. And Abraham was subjected to a very severe and a very crucial test, because God was asking him, and Abraham took him at his word, to take the life of his son, to offer his son up as a burnt offering. The son he dearly loved. So we can see that would have been a very crucial test, a very severe test. But the thing that's wonderful, this was not only a crucial test, an acid test for Abraham, but it was a crucial test, an acid test for Isaac as well. I think, when I review this whole situation, that Isaac's faith was no less than Abraham's faith. When you think about it, Isaac's faith, from my perspective, in my understanding, was not inferior to Abraham's faith. Abraham trusted his heavenly father. Isaac trusted his heavenly father. But Isaac also trusted his earthly father. He was compliant. He was submissive. He was obedient. He did not resist. He did not rebel. And he didn't really understand exactly what was going on. He didn't know really what was happening. He knew that they were going to offer a sacrifice, but he didn't realize that he was going to be that sacrifice. But he trusted his father, and he trusted his heavenly father as well. He was operating by faith. Abraham got everything together, and he rose up early in the morning in verse 3 and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went unto the place which God had told him. Isaac apparently did not interrogate his father. Isaac apparently exhibited no spirit of nervousness. So he went, and the thing that even made the test more severe, more stringent, verse number 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. See, Abraham had basically 3 days to think about this and to turn it over in his mind and decide, do I really want to do this? But he remained resolute in his purpose, firm in his commitment, although he traveled for 3 days going to the place that God had told him of. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place afar off. Abraham didn't get cold feet. Abraham didn't have a change of mind. And Abraham said unto his young men, y'all stay here. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. What would the worship consist of? Offering up Isaac as a sacrifice. We will go yonder and worship and do what? We're going to come again to you. Well, I thought you were planning on offering up Isaac. We did. I did. I had exactly those intentions to offer up Isaac, my only son. But he told the lads, we're going to go yonder. We're going to worship and we're going to come back. Now, some people claim that all of life is worship. That's a false concept. That's an erroneous concept. Some people feel like, well, we're worshiping all of the time. No, we not. No, we ain't. We come here to this place, to this assembly, to worship. But we are not worshiping all day, every day, by everything that we do. There are specific acts or activities of worship in which we engage. Abraham was not worshiping the whole time he was on that three-day journey. Abraham was not worshiping from the time he left the lads and went to the place where the offering was going to be made. He said, we're going to go yonder. We're going to worship, and then we're coming back again. Listen, verse number 6. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac, this is pondering, he spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And it's interesting that Abraham makes himself available to God earlier when God called Abraham. He said, here I am, you know, here am I. And now when Isaac calls on his father, Abraham says, here am I, my son. I'm available to you. What can I do for you? How can I help you? And he said, behold the fire. We got the fire with us. Behold the wood. I know we need wood in order to have a sacrifice and an offering. But there's something missing. Yeah, we got the fire, got the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Notice Abraham's response. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And this signifies that God would provide the lamb, and in a figurative, prophetic sense, he's also saying that God will provide himself as the lamb. And I won't go into the details of that, but God will provide. He's going to make available the lamb, but he is also going to serve as the lamb in the plan of salvation. No wonder John exclaimed in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So they went both of them together, Father and Son, under the watchful oversight of the Heavenly Father, went both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of obedience, submissive, compliance. And Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son. Son never complained, son never rebelled, son never resisted. Bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham and Isaac has to have an idea of what this is all about now. Yeah, I'm the lamb. I'm the object of the sacrifice. And he just allowed him to bind him. Allowed him to lay him on the wood. See, earlier the wood was on Isaac. Now Isaac is on the wood. And Abraham has the knife ready, sharp knife, stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son in carrying out these proceedings. But as he raised the knife, an arresting voice sounded from heaven. An angel of the Lord called out to him and said, "Abraham! Abraham!" And he said, "Here am I. I'm here. How can I help you? What do you want?" And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham passed the acid test. And Abraham was willing to do what he was in the very process of doing, willing to sacrifice his son, to take his son's life. The Hebrew writer explains why and how. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Now, this is why he was willing to do that. This is where his great faith was put on exhibit. Verse 19, accounting, taken under consideration, figuring that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In a sense, all the while Abraham and Isaac were traveling along with those lads, 3 days, in Abraham's mind, Isaac was as good as dead. He had already made up his mind, "I'm going to follow the command of God. I'm going to do exactly what God had asked me to do." I know he said, "Take his life," but I believe if I take my son's life, that God has the power and that God will raise him from the dead. Abraham passed the acid test because he was obedient to God in every particular, all the way to the end. Was in the very process of slaying his son when the restraining voice of the angel of God arrested the action that would have taken the life of his son. Abraham passed the acid test, but also Isaac passed the acid test. And Isaac validated his double allegiance, his allegiance to his earthly father and his allegiance to his heavenly father. They passed, both of them, the acid test. My question is, do we pass the acid test, the severe, serious tests of life? How strong is our faith? How strong is our allegiance, our commitment, our loyalty, our faithfulness, our fidelity? How do you stack up? As we go through this week, let us remember the great sacrifice of Abraham and of his son Isaac. Let us seek to emulate both of them, Father and Son. If you're here this evening and you need to recommit your life to the Lord, this is a kind of test for you. Do you have the courage? Do you have the seriousness, the sincerity to make necessary changes and adjustments in your life, to bring your life into better harmony and compliance with the will of God? If you have strayed away, if there's a need to recommit through repentance, confession, and prayer, that can be accomplished. Will you come as we together stand, as we sing?